that fell to the ground and died. And in his resurrection, he brings forth the fruit. He went on to say, it was for this purpose that I came to this hour. And he said, judgment is now upon this world, and the ruler of this world, speaking of the enemy, Satan, the ruler of this world will be cast out, and if I am lifted up, I will draw all men into myself. Now the lifting up there was speaking of him being lifted up on the cross of Calvary and crucified. Again, it changes everything, even a shift against the judgment against the enemy and the demonic powers that have operated in the worldly realm. We could come now today and we can declare the kingdom of God is at hand. We can say, thy kingdom come and thy will be done today because of the resurrection. It changes everything. He didn't come to establish a new religion. He came to expand his kingdom in the earth through the hearts and lives of men and women who believe in him. And when there is a death, just remember this, when there's a death, when there's a seed sown in the kingdom, there will always be a harvest. Remember that right now because this is important. Because the same applies to us. Think about it. When you were saved, you had to lay down your old life. That was what repentance was about. It was to lay. It's not just to be forgiven, but it was to lay down your old life and begin to live in the newness that Christ has for you. You gain a new life if you're willing to die to the old life. And so it's the same thing. This is the way it works in the kingdom. But can I tell you, that principle is supposed to be working in our lives throughout the days of our lives on the earth. We're to continue to walk in that principle of seed time and harvest. In Galatians 2, the verse we know so well, it says, I have been what? Crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ now lives in me. A lot of times we talk about the crucifixion, we talk about dying to ourselves, we talk about laying down our life, but we got to understand something. The promise is that there's a new life that we will live through the resurrected Son of God, who will now begin to live through us with resurrection power, for he is the resurrection. Romans 6 verse 5 says, if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death. Now this context here is about water baptism. When we're baptized, what we're doing is we're being united with Jesus in his death. So imagine that. When you go down into the water, it's a type of a grave. But then it says, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. A lot of times people don't finish the job. When you were baptized, I guarantee you, you're ready to come out of that water. And when we come out of the water, as much as you are united with him in his death, when you come out of that water as a prophetic action, you're coming up and supposed to be moving into the newness of life in Christ Jesus, your Lord. So we have to be united with him in his resurrection. Scripture calls Jesus the firstborn from among the dead. Hallelujah. Notice the word there is first, not the only. Amen? He's the first fruits of resurrection, meaning there's going to be others who are going to come after him, that are going to be born again. All of us that have received Christ, we have been born from death unto life. Hallelujah. And Jesus was the first fruits of that. And it's the power of resurrection in the life of a man and woman of God who believe it. I don't know that we fully understand it. I believe that's maybe why that scripture passage that I shared with you when we were transitioning in the worship time, maybe that's why it says there will be a greater revelation of salvation at the end. Because I think more and more we're beginning to understand that this resurrection isn't about us knowing a story of something that happened one morning. It's about the reality of its impact on how we live our lives as believers in he who has been resurrected. And can I tell you today, he is alive today and he is alive forevermore. He is seated at the right hand of God. Hallelujah. He is alive forevermore. His word is alive. Everything in the kingdom of God is alive and vibrant. But I ask people many times when they're praying to receive Christ, do you believe that he was raised? Do you believe in resurrection? But I want to take it a step further, not just to initially be saved, but do you believe in his resurrection in your Christian life? Yeah. We're actually told in Romans, the way we get saved is we believe in our hearts that the Lord raised Jesus from the dead. And we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. So we have to believe that from the very beginning, really, to be truly saved and born again, we believe that the Father did raise the Son. Hallelujah. Now, we're not one of those that was able to see him walking around on the earth as some of the very, very earliest disciples were able to see Jesus really walking around with holes in his hands and all of that. But I'm telling you, blessed is he who doesn't have to see to believe. And I'm telling you, God's bringing us into a new place. It's not enough to believe that Jesus just existed and that he died and that he was a part of history. Even people that don't believe in anything in the Bible will tell you that he was a true historical figure. But can I tell you, there's two things we need to understand. Number one, we need to understand, why was he crucified? Because most people don't understand that sacrifice. They don't understand what it was about, as we've talked about all this week in our communion and prayer services. He was crucified. He was fulfilling Isaiah 53. the lamb slain. He was our Passover lamb for all of us. But number two, we must also believe that the Father raised him. And the reason that's as important is because, again, the resurrection validates everything that our Lord died for. So praise God for Resurrection Sunday. Praise God that he came out of that tomb. Paul said in 1 Corinthians, if Christ has not been raised, our faith is worthless and we are still in our sins. In other words, what does our faith mean if he's just another man that gave his life for something? Many men have given their lives for something, for a cause and for a purpose. But can I tell you today, the resurrection validates what he gave his life for. Hallelujah. In Romans and Ephesians, Paul makes it clear that the same power that raised Jesus from the grave is the power that is at work in and through those who believe in him. Hallelujah. The same power. He didn't say a semblance of the power or a little bit of the power, but the same power. Which tells me maybe we don't fully understand what is going to be revealed in the great salvation of the Lord like we ought to. When Jesus was standing outside Lazarus' tomb with Martha, and Martha was distressed saying, Lord, if you'd have just been here, my brother Lazarus wouldn't have died. He who you love wouldn't have died if you'd have just been here. And Jesus began to talk to her about the resurrection. He began to challenge her saying, he who believes in me will live, and even if he dies in the flesh, he will live forever. He will still live, and he's sharing about resurrection, and Martha's still kind of back and forth with him a little bit about it, and then he looks at her, and he says, I am the resurrection. Don't look for a resurrection. I am the resurrection. Well, think about this today, beloved. When you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, he made your heart his home, so resurrection is in you. Hallelujah. There's a resurrection power. And there is no greater power than to cause something that is dead to live again. There is no greater power in the earth. And I believe there's really, in the life of a believer, I believe there's four ways that resurrection life and power can affect our lives. Number one is obviously when we're born again. When we go from spiritual death to spiritual life. Number two, resurrection power works in us to strengthen. Now get this. To strengthen and renew us in our inner man. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, the Lord God will strengthen us and renew us in our inner man day by day. Now that's quite a promise. I mean, most of us believe in the dramatic change that took place in our hearts when we were saved. But can I tell you, he wants to renew you in that every day. And the only reason that's possible is because resurrection power is in the heart of the believer. Every day we can be renewed, made like new again as children of God. And we ought to seek that every day as we seek the Lord in prayer. Thirdly, resurrection power. This is something I believe we're going to see more and more tapping into. The resurrection power gives life to our mortal flesh. Now think about this. Our mortal flesh is just that. It's mortal. We know these bodies are not going to live forever, and most of us would say amen. We don't want them to. But there's a time coming when we know this earthly tent will be done away. But actually, there's a time coming when this mortal will put on immortality. This corruptible will put on incorruption, the Bible says. Now, we obviously know that's in the days to come, in the redemption to come. But right now, he says his spirit who dwells within us, get this, gives life to the mortal body. Get that again. It gives life to the mortal body. Didn't say the body was not mortal anymore, but saying as long as you and the Holy Spirit, which is the resurrection power of God, is within your body, life is given to you. And it's a resurrection life. That's why there's a promise in the Word of God of the length of days. That's why there's a promise of a restoration of youthfulness. And God has called us to live that way. And I believe more and more, as we move more and more into helping people to be delivered of sickness and disease and infirmities, we need to understand something. There is resurrection power within us. The fourth way that resurrection power works in us is resurrection causes what is dead to live. And that can be a lot of things, beloved. That can be a lot of things in our lives. And I want to spend a little bit more time on that. Again, resurrection is like seed time and harvest. In seed time and harvest, what was sown has to go into the earth and die. It's a type of death. But then when the resurrection comes, when the fruit comes from that seed, again, what did Jesus say? Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains alone. So if Jesus had just merely just come upon the earth, demonstrated who he was, and then ascended into heaven without death and resurrection, we wouldn't have any hope of being able to enter into that as being a fruit of that. He would have been called the only fruit of them born again from the dead. But he wasn't called the only fruit. He was called the first fruits. And so that's what God's trying to challenge us with. I want to say this to you. We're in weird times right now, awkward times, difficult times right now, trying to navigate through where we're at in this country and all the nations. Most of the nations are going through the same thing. But everything, I want to say this to you, everything we give up for the sake of the kingdom will come back as a harvest of righteousness. Jesus said it'll come back to you some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. Now think about that for just a moment. But what does that really look like? And here's what I hear the Lord saying to me this week. He's just challenging me. Anything you've given up or anything you've let go or anything you've laid aside or laid down, anything you've let fall to the ground or fall away, for some of us it's been taken away from us. But when you do that, I hear the Lord saying, don't count it as loss. Count it as seed. Count it as seed in the kingdom of God, because the harvest result will always be greater in quantity, but it'll also be better, because it's the fruit of the harvest of righteousness that comes from anything we go through. Many, many times, there's times, even anytime, here it is, anytime there's a death or a seed sown, so to speak, in the kingdom, there will be a harvest. So don't count it as loss. Right now, a lot of us feel lost. Sometimes people feel like it's a loss in the area of their employment. They feel like there's a loss in the area of finances and supply. There's a loss, maybe something going on in relationships. Or maybe even something that you kind of knew that was probably an idol in your life and it needed to go anyway. And it's kind of been snatched away from us. But I hear the Lord saying, don't count it as loss, especially in a difficult season. Now, I love to look at the exodus of the children of Israel out of Egypt this time of year, obviously. But especially, I love to celebrate the protection that is found in the blood of the Lamb. Because remember this about the blood. Ultimately, here's what happened. When they put the blood on their doorpost, when the death angel came, now get this, that angel passed over those houses that had the blood. He wasn't looking for perfection. He wasn't looking for an offering. He was looking for the blood. He was looking for the blood. He was looking for the blood. And when he saw the blood, he passed over. So what passed over? Judgment passed over the houses that had the blood. Now we live in a world where there are judgments that come. There are judgments that come. Man, read the Bible about the end of days. There's going to be things that happen like this. And I believe God's trying to show us. I don't think this is the last of what was going to go on the earth during that time of the birth pangs and all that's going on. I'm not predicting anything. And I don't want to go through some of the things that we might have to go through. But I'm telling you, that's why the blood of protection is so, so important. But as I looked at that, the Lord began to remind me of something. And if you would, turn with me to Exodus 12 and look with me at verse 11. Verse 11, this just jumped out to me this week by the Holy Spirit, and I thought about sharing it in one of the exhortation videos, and I felt like the Lord wanted to save it for today. In Exodus 12, verse 11, look what it says. Now you shall eat. Now he's giving them instructions about eating the lamb that they had brought into their household. He said, you shall eat the lamb in this manner. Now notice this. With your loins girded, and your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. Now they were to eat it in haste. And what the meaning here is, they were to eat in readiness. They were to partake of the lamb in readiness. Because you know what was getting ready to happen? After this last plague, Pharaoh insisted, along with the will of the people of Egypt, Pharaoh insisted they get out. Okay, you guys are out of here. Here you go. You can take the livestock. We'll even give you some of our gold and silver. Please leave. It was going to be time to leave. And so the Lord began to speak to me. They weren't just celebrating protection from the judgment. Okay? That was part of it. But they were celebrating freedom from slavery. They were being set free from their old life of slavery. And that's a beautiful picture for us as Christians. We're being set free from something, but it's to go into your newfound freedom. He didn't say, celebrate my protection and then have a nice banquet and a feast and stay the way you are and go back into slavery. See, there's something God's getting ready to do. And many of the prophets are declaring there's a divine reset getting ready to take place. And I believe that. This changes everything. And things were never going to be the same for them. In fact, they had to learn. It was one thing to get out of Egypt, but God had to find a way to get Egypt out of them. And they had to know that. And so the Lord was telling them, you be ready to go. Have your loins girded up. Have your sandals on. Have your walking stick ready, because we're going to move from here into the new thing. And I feel like that God's saying that to us because we've kind of been in a hunkered down mentality. We're trying to avoid the virus. We're trying to avoid things and all of that. And that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. But I'm telling you, there's something prophetic in the whole event and the way it's happening right at this time of year. And I believe it is a prophetic sign to us. And I believe there is going to be a divine reset. Why it's so important, I'm going to encourage you again. And I'm not trying to be redundant with all the videos I sent you this past week. But we need to take advantage of these opportunities to spend and invest a lot of time in the secret place of prayer. Getting alone with God in worship and drawing close to Him in intimacy like never before. Remember, the five foolish virgins, ultimately, what the oil and the lamp represented was, I don't know you. The lack of oil meant, I am not intimate with you. And that was the telling thing about the whole story of the parable of the 10 virgins. And we need to be a people that are intimate with the Lord. And we need to never think we're intimate enough. We need to continue to draw close to the Lord, especially in a time such as this. But it's for the purpose that He can send us apostolically into the venues of life that He's calling us to go as a church corporately and as individuals. Now look with me, you would, at a passage that we're familiar with in Isaiah 43 and verse number 18. Here's what it says. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Notice that. Don't call to mind past history and ponder it. Now, there's nothing wrong with celebrating something that happened in the past, but this is what's hard for us. We'll see. Let me give you an example. We'll see where there was a great revival or a great, you know, move of God. How many know we'll study it and we'll look at it and we'll think, boy, if we could just do that again. Have you ever noticed you can't? Because every revival and every move of God is always different. There's always a different aspect to it. There may be some similarities, but there's always a different aspect in how God does it. And so He said, you got to be careful. We're not trying to formulate something and do it exactly like they used to do it. That's what happens is when we do keep doing something that used to work, it becomes what we call an old wineskin. And then when the new wine comes out, the old wineskin can't handle it. The old wineskin has any way to use it or disperse it to the people. So the Lord says this, behold, I will do something new. That word behold means to look and see. This is a season to look and see like never before. I will do something new. And then the next word is now. Now it will spring forth. Notice that. You know, when a seed is put in the ground, it's pretty amazing. If you ever watch a seed on a plant or something, maybe, you know, or maybe you sowed seed in your yard or whatever, and it seems like for the longest time, nothing happens. And then it's like all of a sudden, like suddenly, it springs forth. I know when I moved here, one of the first houses I lived in over in Tempe, the whole front yard was nothing but rocks. And for the most part, hey, I didn't have to do anything. Right? And then about this time of year, especially, or a little bit earlier than this, actually, have a little bit of some winter rains. And then that first day when it really gets a little bit warm and those rocks get hot. And I mean, it seems like overnight I would just drive up the driveway and weeds were everywhere. I would have never even known that seed was there. But in the right conditions brought it forth and it sprung forth. I want to tell you, God's getting ready to spring some things forth. But look at the next question the prophet asked. Will you not be aware of it? That was the question. Will we be aware of what God's doing? And I love this. We were singing this today. I will make a roadway in the wilderness and I will bring rivers into your desert. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, there may be a place you're in where the whole spiritual prophetic picture here is that the Lord would say, you may be in a place where there's no way out. And the Lord said, I'll bring a road grader in and make a way for you right through the middle of the desert. And you might be in the driest place of your life and feel like there's no water here. And the Lord said, oh no, I can bring you water from a rock right in the desert. Are y'all getting the picture of that? Very important to understand that. The Lord's reminding us He can make a way where there's not a way, for He is the way maker. Hallelujah. And He can make that way and what God's getting ready to do to spring forth. But here's the thing. Here's the thing, beloved. We will not be aware of the new thing if we forsake intimacy in the secret place. We'll get caught off guard by it. We won't understand it. Jesus said this. He said, I no longer call you slaves. And here's why. Because slaves don't know what their master is doing. Okay? I mean, slaves basically do what they're told. You do what you're told. You know, I don't know why we're doing this, but hey, master said to do it. And that's how a slave operates. And I'm telling you, beloved, that's not how we're supposed to relate to God. Jesus said, but I call you friends. Because everything the Father has given to me, I have given and shown to you. So what's he really saying here? He's saying, we are going to have a friendship. Remember, because that was so key to Moses, the face-to-face, the friendship. And to be able to know what the Father is doing. And Jesus promises the type of friendship. Now, what we got to be careful of is being a friend of God does not mean he's not God and he's not Lord. It's not meaning we don't worship him. It's not meaning he's just my buddy now. He's not saying, you all are going to be my buddies. But he's saying, though, but my relationship, even though it will be a relationship of humility and you bowing down and you worshiping and all of that, but yet in that, like a friend, you're going to know what's going on. You're going to be aware of what the Father's doing. You're going to be aware of what the Spirit is saying. Now, some of you need to receive that. And if you have a slave mentality, you need to cast it off. You need to cast it off and enter into the deep intimacy with the Master that he's calling you to be. You know, these are interesting times. The other day, usually I don't watch a lot of news because, frankly, it either depresses me or makes me very, very angry. Okay? There's a lot of junk going on out there, and so I just try to just hear the Holy Spirit. But I do watch the task force updates just to see what's going on. And even in that, I try to be careful. I don't want to get off into where I'm just getting very political about things. But I will say this. The other day on my computer, I guess it was Good Friday. Yeah, it was Good Friday. The president just made a brief statement about Easter. And in his Easter address, and he said beautiful things about resurrection and faith in Christ and Christians all over the world celebrating Easter and wishing everybody a happy Easter. It's fine. It was wonderful. It was beautiful. But then he says this. He quotes Isaiah 60. He said where the prophet Isaiah said, though darkness has covered the earth, and it seems as though deep darkness is on the peoples, the glory of the Lord is going to rise upon you. Beloved, I'm telling you, that excited me because I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy. Even our president is saying something. You might think, well, I don't know. I didn't vote for him, right? That didn't have anything to do with it because he's in a place of authority politically as in the government, and he said something very prophetic in my opinion. I'm not calling him a prophet. I'm just saying it excited me to realize something is going on and people are beginning to realize that God is wanting to turn this situation for his glory. Part of the preparation and the consecration to a new thing, hear me, is to let go of the former thing. And that sometimes is the hardest thing to do. Because it's not always meaning that the former thing is bad or evil. Sometimes it is. It's something that just we need to repent of and walk away from. But sometimes it's something that at one time was good. And it was fruitful. But as Paul said it this way, forgetting what lies behind, I reach forward and press on toward the goal, the prize, which is the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He said, I press on into that. And the whole context for that statement was him saying, there's nothing I desire more than to know him more. I just want to lay hold of him who's laid hold of me. That was Paul's drive and his desire. And I believe the Lord's saying that to us as a church. He's saying to us individually. He's speaking that, I believe, to the church as whole, especially in this nation, that it's time for us to realize the old way is not getting it done anymore. And God is wanting to bring the power of the shift that happened on Calvary 2,000 years ago, validated by the resurrection. He's wanting to bring the power and the reality of that to fullness in this end time. So we have to be willing to give it up, beloved. We have to be willing to let it go. Even in seeming loss, count it as seed. Because if you count it as seed, you won't see it as loss. You know, a farmer, when he has his seed, and he goes out, he prepares his field, and he sows his field with his seed, he doesn't go back and sit on the porch of his farmhouse and go, wow, what a waste that was. We know a farmer doesn't think that way. He's already thinking of the harvest. The great harvest that will come from his obedience to go out and sow the seed. But can I tell you this, and this is true, seeding time is hard. It's difficult. It's sometimes hard to let go of things, lay something down, give something up, whatever you may want to call it. Sometimes even, you know, the Lord will move on your heart about a financial gift and you're like going, oh, this is hard, and you're writing a check, you know. But I'm telling you, seeding time is generally hard. In fact, it says this in Psalm 126, those who sow in tears, get that, sow in tears will reap with joyful shouting. I like that. So even come on now, even what we're sowing into right now in difficulties and awkwardness and like, what is going on? It just doesn't feel comfortable. And yet the Lord says, but I'm going to bring forth a harvest with joyful shouting. Hallelujah. It's important for us to grasp hold of that. I believe more than anything, it's time for us to choose that good part. You remember when Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, worshiping him, listening to the word. I mean, boy, she was tuned in to Jesus. Meanwhile, Martha's trying to get everything perfectly set up, and Martha gets upset. We know the story, right? Lord, say something to her. She's not helping me. And Jesus looks at Martha and says, Martha, you are busy, busy, busy with so many things. You're so distracted. And really, there's only one thing that really matters. And then he looked at Mary and he said, Mary has chosen the good part, that which cannot be taken away from her. And there's an understanding here we need to grasp. And it's that the things of the kingdom can't be taken away from you. Now, you maybe can ignore it, shelve it, put it aside, forget about it. But it doesn't change the fact that that seed is still good. I'm telling you, in this season, I believe the Lord's getting ready to bring forth some things suddenly. I just call for this church and for your lives a springing forth of prophetic things in the name of Jesus to come springing forth in your lives. Look at Galatians 6 verse 8 with me. For the one who sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. In other words, it won't last. It's frivolous. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. There's no greater verse to describe what I feel like the Lord's saying in our hearts right now. The harvest of righteousness is eternal. And the sowing is worth it because we will reap with joy. A lot of times we can't reap with joy if we're too busy complaining about how hard it was to sow it to begin with. What I had to go through, what I had to give up, and whatever. Jesus said, I don't care what you give for the kingdom of God, houses, lands, farm, whatever you give. And he said, you'll get back 100 times in this age and eternal life in the life to come. What an amazing promise. So it's not about what we're losing. It's about what we're sowing. Are y'all with me? It's really important we grasp this. Now go with me, if you would, to Hebrews 12. And if there's a verse that I feel like speaks to our moment, I believe this verse does. I've rarely taught much on this verse because it's not one that causes a lot of people to jump up and down and shout and throw money at the altar, you know? But it's Hebrews 12, verse number 11. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. And everyone said, amen. Come on now. This is not really joyful time, really. Not really. Now we'll say this. I'm going to back up for just a moment. We've had some powerful times in here, just a few of us, you know, recording these services, even online in prayer meetings and all, you know, God's been good. Thank God that we have the technology to do what we do. But I'm just saying, but there's the other areas of just our life in general, things are weird. I don't know how else to describe it. But look what it says. Yet to those, get this, who have been trained by it. Don't you wish God could train you another way? But he's saying, but to those who have been trained by it, afterwards, everybody say afterwards, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Are you seeing this? Even in the times of sorrow and discipline and all of this, what's happening is, yeah, you're being trained, but it's also you're sowing something that's going to bring forth the peaceful fruit of righteousness. And I believe more than anything, this applies to us in this difficult season. So here's what I've encouraged you with. Don't complain. Don't murmur. And don't try to avoid what it is that God wants to do in us. Don't try to avoid that. Because see, there's a joyful harvest of righteousness. If the Lord asks you to give up anything or lay aside anything or stop anything or repent of anything, hear my heart, it always is worth it. Because he doesn't ask you that just so he can browbeat you or put you down. He's wanting to bring forth the peaceful fruit of harvest in your life. And I'm telling you, that's what he wants for us. Now, I want to close today from the book of Ephesians chapter 5. I want to bring some verses out to you, and then we're going to pray and going to release you guys. But right now, I just want you to, if you go to Ephesians 5, you have your Bibles, turn there. And let's look at the first couple of verses of the chapter. Ephesians 5, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. Now stop right there. Who are we supposed to be imitating? God. Well, God is love. So he's saying, walk in my love. Just as Christ also loved you. Here it is. Are you ready? And gave himself up for us. Let's put it in this language. He sold himself because of love. He sold his life for us. Here it goes. An offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. Hallelujah. He sold his life. And can I tell you, if we are disciples of Jesus, we are going to be challenged to sow our lives too for the purposes of the kingdom of God. Now, this passage goes on to encourage us to walk in love and to walk in the light. Because, get this, we were formerly darkness, but we are now to walk as children of the light. I mean, to walk in darkness is easy because we came out of our mother's womb in darkness. We live in this world, in a dark, fallen world, obviously. But the Lord's saying, I want you to walk in the light. You're going to walk differently. Now look at verse number 9 with me. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. And aren't we all trying to do that? Lord, what is pleasing to you? Go down with me, if you would, to verse 14. Talk about a prophetic verse about resurrection. And you've heard this, I've preached this verse to you many times. For this reason it says, look here, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead. Get that, from the dead. Wow. That sounds like a resurrection to me. Are you with me? Are you seeing this? Awake, sleeper. Because when we go to sleep, even if we're already born again, okay? When we go to sleep on what we're called to walk in, we get into a spiritual slumber. The Lord says, it's like trying to raise you from the dead. Amen? Some of you, when you were kids, your parents felt like they were trying to raise the dead just to get you out of bed to go to school. You know what I mean? He says, arise from the dead, old sleepyhead. Wake up and arise. And what does he promise? Christ will shine on you. That's why it says in Isaiah, arise and shine. For your light has come. The day of walking in the light is now. Your light has come. And though darkness covers the earth and deep darkness is upon the peoples, the glory of the Lord will rise and shine upon you and me. Hallelujah. No matter how dark it gets, in fact, and all the more, the darker it gets, the greater the glory should be shining from the people of God. It should be even all the more obvious in what the Lord wants to do. Now, this is a promise of resurrection power. I almost feel like this way. The Lord's just saying, if you will wake up and make a move, I'm going to shine on you. Now, don't wake up and hit snooze. Don't wake up for a worship service and go back to bed. Don't wake up for an altar call only and then go back to life as usual. And I even feel like the Lord's saying, when this is all said and done and we're released back into culture and we're released back to our jobs and kind of getting back at it, don't go back to business as usual. That would be no different than the children of Israel going right back to slavery. I'm telling you, God's calling us into something dynamic, and it's going to require his glory on us to make it happen. Hallelujah. He's so faithful to shine on us. Here's the thing I think about waking up, is they use that phrase nowadays. They say, well, he's woke. But can I tell you something? To wake up is to be awakened unto a purpose. It's to be awakened unto a purpose. His purpose. That's why we need to shod our feet. That's why we need to gird our loins. That's why we need to prepare for what it is that God's calling us into. Now look down at verse 15 with me. Therefore, be careful how you walk. Not as unwise men, but as wise. Making the most of your time, because the days are evil. We could all say amen to that, right? Basically, it's redeem the time. When I'm in a situation like we are now, and I'm not able to get out much or do anything, sometimes I just break away and go, rebelliously go through a drive-thru or something. But the biggest thing, and I'm a busy guy anyway, with all I'm preparing and doing, I'm very disciplined about that. But can I tell you, it's with the other time that I find myself, even though there's things I can't partake of anymore. You know, you can't watch a good game anymore on TV, or you know, involve yourself in some things that are kind of shut down in society and culture. We've got to be really careful, because it almost was like forcibly a lot of our distractions were already removed. Have you ever noticed there's new distractions that the enemy brings into our lives? We could find ourselves kind of getting slothful and lazy, or to use the language here in Ephesians, sleepy. And it's really hard when you're not quite yet loose to go. And what I believe the Lord wants to do is he wants to take some inertia spiritually into the church and resurrect us into something even greater when we're able to do that and come together again. So we need to redeem the time that we have and not waste that time. Now look at verse 17. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation. Now I want to stop right there. I don't believe in today's culture that would be the only thing that would be spoken to us. Because how many of you know, we might be able to get drunk with wine, but there's a lot of things in this world people get drunk on. They spend and invest so much of their time into things that just dissipate. They're corruptible. Basically, that means it's a waste of time. And I want to encourage you about that. You know, for some, alcohol is an issue, but I'm just saying there's a lot of other things you could put in that blank to describe things that we just so give ourselves to. And so what the Lord's saying is, if we're going to understand the will of the Lord is, we got to quit getting drunk on the wrong thing and be continually filled with the Spirit. And you may say, well, how do I do that? Well, it says clearly, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. That is how, one of the most beautiful ways to be filled with the Spirit is to start singing your song unto the Lord. I long for us to all be assembled together again. I miss you guys. I miss everyone. I miss all of you in the church. I miss my grandkids. I miss everybody. But there's, you know, I miss that dynamic aspect of being filled with the Spirit when we're assembled. I miss that, and I hope you do too. But can I tell you, don't miss out on the opportunities to get online and join us in the Spirit like you're doing today. Get online, join us in the Spirit, pray with us when we have a prayer night. Now, I think this week we're going to probably do another prayer night on Wednesday from my living room. But get involved. Don't just watch it like you're watching a television program. Get involved with your family. Lift up your voice. Pray, worship, and be filled with the Spirit of God. Get in the Spirit. I don't want to do a teaching on this, but Paul spoke about how he would long to be with such and such. I long to be with you, but you know, I've not been permitted to come, you know, with his schedule and all that he was doing. He couldn't be everywhere he wanted to be at one time. And he talked about how he missed him. But then he would make phrases like this. He would say things like, but I am with you in the Spirit. I know I'm not trying to be weird here, like we're talking about ghosts or anything. But what I'm talking about is that there's a connection we have that's called koinonia. It's a fellowship that's in the Spirit. We're not even supposed to know one another according to the flesh anymore. We're supposed to know one another by the Spirit. And according to the Spirit. So I just want to encourage you. Let's make the most of this while we can. When there's a time to pray and worship, let's press into it. When there's a time to do what like we're doing today, let's press into it. And let's believe all the more that soon and very soon, hallelujah, not only are we going to see the King, we're going to be able to assemble again. Now look at verse 20 with me and we'll close. Always giving thanks for all things, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Giving thanks for all things. Obviously, we're talking about good things. But you know, sometimes if we get ourselves frustrated and we're in a difficult time and we're not allowing that to train us, what will happen is it's very easy to get to where we don't even offer the sacrifice of praise anymore. And you might say, well, I don't know even what to thank him for right now. My life is just a mess. Well, I'll tell you what, start to thank him for the harvest that's getting ready to spring forth. Thank him for the new thing he's getting ready to do in your life and in this church. Make it a practice to continually offer up the sacrifice of praise, which Hebrews says is the fruit of your lips and my lips giving thanks unto his name. Beloved, if we'll wake up and get up, he will shine on us. I believe that. And when we repent and return, he promises times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. So I encourage you today, expect and allow the power of resurrection to begin working in and through your life, even your physical body, your marriage, your family, your church. Begin to believe for that. Because remember, where there's been a loss, count it as a seed sown, and then expect the fruit of resurrection. Just the same as you planted a natural seed in the ground in a garden that you're tending, you would expect it to bear fruit. And do the same thing. Don't only just sow it, but with joy begin to bring it forth. And trust that God's going to do that. I'm telling you, I pray for you all the time that the Lord will build within us all a great expectations, an expectancy for what the Lord has for us. For Jesus our Lord is still the resurrection, and he is still the life. And the beauty of that is he's with us today. You know, when Jesus had them roll away the stone, we all know Martha protested. You know, Lord, he's been dead 4 days. This is not going to be good when you roll that stone away. And because it's going to stink. It's going to be bad. But they rolled the stone away. And Jesus cried out to Lazarus, a dead man. And he just said simply, Lazarus, come forth. And we all know the story. Lazarus came out, bound up with all these grave wrappings that were all over him. And what I heard the Lord say was, it's time for you to call in your harvest of righteousness. It's time to call it in. Say to your dreams. Say to your visions. Say to your prophetic words. Say to even the financial seeds you've sown. In any area that you've ministered, start to say to it, come forth in the name of Jesus. Call it forth. Call it to spring forth in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Begin to speak to it. Speak to the north and to the south and east and west. Begin to decree that. Because I'll tell you, your tongue is a sickle for harvest. And God is calling it forth. And he calls it forth through you with shouts of joy. You may have sown it in tears and in difficulties, but you will reap it with shouts of joy. Now's a good time to shout for joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. One more thing about the story of Lazarus. Lazarus was wrapped in grave clothes, right? Which is probably pretty interesting because I'm thinking about, he probably came hopping out. I mean, how can you walk out wrapped up in grave clothes? And you remember what he said? Loose him and let him go. And I want to tell you today, what are grave clothes? They are wrappings that are placed around to preserve something that is dead. Come on now. They're wrapped around trying to preserve something that is dead. And it won't work. But you know, sometimes we have things in our life that are like grave clothes. And the problem is we're going to be hobbled and handicapped in our walk with grave clothes on. Didn't mean you couldn't get out of that tomb you've been in, okay? Our lockdown mode. But when we get out of it, we not admit, let him take the grave clothes off. Hallelujah. And I believe for us, is somebody doesn't have to say to somebody else to come over to take your grave clothes off. I believe you can just get before the Holy Spirit and let him search your heart. And he'll reveal some things. Let me pull this away from you. Because it's hindering you from walking in the light and what God has for you. I hope you'll receive that. It's kind of like, again, living in the past. You got to lay it aside, die to it, take it off. Just like even in this new life we live, Jesus said, put on the old, lay off the old man and put on the new. And this is what God's calling us to do so that we can go. So I encourage you today, prepare yourself for a divine reset. For the new thing that God is getting ready to do. Because here's the thing, when resurrection life comes, it springs forth speedily in Jesus' name. And I say to some of you right now, healing is going to spring forth speedily. Financial provision is going to spring forth speedily. Prophetic words that seem like you can't even hardly remember that seed that was sown into your heart, but it's going to spring forth speedily in this season. Because, see, resurrection power is at work in you. And it's going to require you to be expectant and in faith. And so I'm going to pray for you right now. And I'm going to pray for the Lord just to bless your heart. Because I'm telling you, we need to be stirred up, even in the way of remembrance of what we've already sown. Because I heard the Lord say, I don't care if it was sown in a field that's gone fallow. You can plow it up with Judah, your praise. You could plow up your fallow ground, and there's some seeds there, even from years ago, they're going to spring forth again in the name of Jesus, because the seed never goes bad in the kingdom of God, because it's the word of God, and the word of God is living and it is active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's the seed of the word of God. Let's allow God in this season to get our soil of our hearts ready to even receive more seed, yes, but also to see a germination take place and then the divine springing forth of resurrection. I hope you receive that today. Try not to use too many prophetic pictures, but let me pray for you right now. If you would, just lift your hands to heaven and lift your face and your countenance to heaven. And we're going to close in just a moment with a song of worship unto God. But right now, I just want to pray over you right now in the name of Jesus. Enter in with me right there in your home. Father, I thank you today for the resurrection. Jesus, I know and believe that today you have risen and that you are alive forevermore. We honor you today, right now, and we thank you for the resurrection power that is at work in us. Right now, even in your home, begin to shout hallelujah for the resurrection. Come on, come on. If you can't shout hallelujah on Easter Sunday, we've got a problem. So begin right now to celebrate resurrection power. Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah.
Help us, Lord, by your grace, I pray, to let go, to lay it down, to count even what would seem as loss, to count it as seed in your glorious kingdom, my Lord. Help us, Lord, to know that even in sowing and difficulty and sorrow, we will reap with shouts of joy in your glorious kingdom. We thank you for that right now, Lord. I pray over you right now at this point. I want you to place your hand over your heart. And I pray right now for a divine remembrance of some seeds. I almost feel like there's some sown seeds that are lost that the Lord wants to bring forth right now in the name of Jesus. Help us, Lord, to remember and begin to call forth what it is you're getting ready to do. Father, I also pray today for the people of Freedom Gate and all of our friends and partners. May the discipline of these difficult and awkward times train us. May it train us so that we may see the peaceful fruit of righteousness. Would you just say to the Lord, train me, Jesus. Train me, Jesus, Lord. Disciple me, Lord. Show me your ways, even in things that I don't understand. May we have a heart like Joseph, Lord. Believing that even when the enemy means something for harm, that, Lord God, you will turn it for good. Hallelujah. Lord, I also pray that we will have believing hearts, that you are doing a new thing. Help us, Holy Spirit, to be aware of the new thing. Infuse us with hope, Lord, in a spirit of faith that you are making. I pray some of you need this right now. He is making a roadway for you where there hasn't been one, but the Lord is your way maker.
Yes.
And he's making a roadway out. There is a way out that only God can do.
Yep.
Ask the Lord also to infuse you with hope and a spirit of faith to believe that he will give us a drink in the dry places, in the desert of our life. By the Holy Spirit, those rivers of living water. Just begin to worship him right now. Just begin to worship him right now. Rivers in the desert. Rivers in the desert. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Out of your innermost being, Jesus said, would flow rivers of living water. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I ask you today, give us the grace, dear Lord, to choose the good part, to sow into the Spirit and not corruptible things, but to sow into the eternal realm, believing that, Lord, your power of resurrection is always at work in the Spirit. Help us to know, Lord God, there's not a moment in prayer, in worship, in your word, drawing close to you, there would ever be a waste. For it will eternally impact us for all eternity. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for it right now. Now just say with me right now. Speak over your heart right now. Just place your hand over your heart again. And speak over your heart right now and just say this. Awake my soul. Say it again. Awake my soul. It is time to arise. And it's time to shine. For such a time as this. To the praise of His glory. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to go out today with a song of praise and worship to the Lord as we close. Before we do that, I want to encourage you with this. Stay focused. Stay focused. Stay firm in your faith. His suddenlies are coming. I'll say it again. His suddenlies are coming to you. So get yourself into position for them, because He's doing a new thing. I'll say it again. He's doing a new thing. And it's about to spring forth. Receive the word of the Lord today, beloved. We love you. We bless you today. We're praying for you. We're here for you. Please stay in communication with us about anything that's going on so that we can pray and bring the intercessors together in prayer. See you this week online through exhortations and prayer times and various other ways. God bless you all so much. I love you. Lift your voice and pray.